sure what that running is. Amos chapter number 4, verse number 11. Let's start there. Amen. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God.
Yes.
O Israel. Amen. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the word of the Lord. I'm going to start with a little illustration, then I'll give you my text. Amen. Try not to keep us too long here, but some of you are old enough to remember before my day, but I'm a historian, somewhat of a historian. I like history, read history. But December the 7th, 1941, amen. On that morning, that day, scores of Japanese fighter planes bombed Pearl Harbor. Amen. Right. Crippling the harbor, destroying many ships, even destroying some of the aircraft carriers. President Roosevelt called it a day that would live in infamy. Amen. Right. Right. Praise God. Totally unprepared for what was coming, Brother Daniel. Yep. Totally unprepared for the attack of the enemy. Amen.
Right, right.
And the Japanese, when they came sudden and they came unexpectedly. I know there are some debate on that. Some say that that we had information that they were coming and they just turned a deaf ear to it, didn't believe it. I don't know. That's a possibility. But that even fits the scenario today also. Amen. We know that the day of the Lord is coming.
Right.
Thank God. Lord. Just as sure as each and every one of us are sitting in a pew, is sitting in a seat today. Amen. Yeah. Just as sure as we're sitting here right now, there's coming a day, believe it or not. Amen. Well, you may not agree with this. You may not know this. I don't know. But everyone in this place is going to stand before God one day.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And we're going to give an account for this life, Brother Earl. I'm going to give an account for the life I live.
Sure.
And you're going to give an account for the life you live.
Right.
Woo. Hallelujah. Yes. But on that day, there'll not be a soul be able to stand with you on that day.
Right.
You're going to stand by yourself. Right. Amen. That's why I don't like it when folks say, when I stand before God, I'm going to tell him this. I've heard people say, I'm going to shake my fist at the hand of God, and I'm going to say this, this, and this. Let me tell you something. John loved God. John laid his head on the bosom of Christ. He heard the very heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Right. And when John got on his knees, presence. Amen. You know what John did? The Bible said he fell down as a dead man.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
On that day, you'll not say a word to God.
Bless him.
Right. Amen. Pray for me here today. On that day, you will not speak one word of rebuke to the Lord, but he's going to do the talking that day. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, a wise man is one that makes preparations. He prepares for, something that he can see coming down the road. He prepares for trouble. He prepares for a rainy day. My dad always taught me, just an old country lingo, it stuck with me. He said, you can't make hay on a rainy day. You got to make hay when the sun's shining.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Being prepared, praise God. Amen. The Boy Scouts have as their motto the simple words, be prepared. Hallelujah. God also believes in preparation. I don't know about you, but that's what we're doing here today. We're making preparations for that day.
Hallelujah.
We're making preparations, Brother Tom Perry, for that day when we're going to meet the Lord. The Christian must meet God. Every one of us. Sometimes we get in our mind that only a sinner's going to stand before God. Saints and sinners will stand before God one day. Amen. The saint will stand in the judgment seat of Christ, and the sinner will stand in the great white throne judgment of God. I got three things I want to give to us here before I quit. I'd like to preach to us for just a few moments on why prepare to meet God. Amen. How to prepare to meet God, and when to prepare. Hallelujah. So my first point I'd like to talk to us, why should I prepare to meet God? First off, God demands it. Like a river running through a valley. Amen. Like God commands for us us to prepare. I don't know what that is, something bad ringing up here. God's command for us to prepare to meet Him. It's a tragedy not to obey. Amen. That we're going to have to meet God one day. Hallelujah. A slave, I read this illustration, it touched my heart. A slave was mourning over the death of his master. And they came up to him and they said, do you think your master made it to heaven? And the slave replied, no, I don't think he made it to heaven. They said, why is that? They said, because my master was a planner. He was a preparer. If he had to go to town, he made preparations for a day or two before he would make a long trip to town. Anything he had to do, he would plan for days to get ready. He said, I never knew of any preparations that he made to get ready to meet God. Wouldn't that be a sad time that God would live? I remember I was working, and I know I tell this to some of you, probably don't believe it, but I grew up poor as a pauper, amen? And I worked the road programs, but I don't even know if they do such a thing. I was only 15 years old and signed up for a summer work program. Worked for whatever minimum wage was way back in the 90s, amen? And I cut weeds beside the road, amen? And I remember, Brother Earl, that I was talking to some of them boys. I was saved at that time. I was talking to some of them about meeting God, and you had to be ready. What if we should die? Are you ready to meet the Lord? And this one old fellow, he said, I don't believe there is a God.
Oh God.
He said, I don't believe that there's a God. I don't believe none of that. Praise God. And he said this, I'll never forget this. He said, you mean to tell me that God, amen, would take a fella and let him live 70 or 80 years? Who said this? Maybe Brother George made mention of this the other night, and he said it exactly right. Praise God. He said, do you mean God would let a man live 70 or 80, possibly 90 years, and after that life, if they didn't live right, then send them to hell? Praise God. And I told him the same thing. I knew enough as a young man. I said, oh no, that's not how God does it. God gives that man time and time again to make a choice to turn from his sin. I know enough about God to know this. That God loves us so much. Yes, that he sent his son. Yes, I believe that. God loved Judas so much that he pulled on him until the very moment he turned. Amen. And turned on the very Lord himself. But God loves us so much that he gives every man, woman, boy, and girl a space to repent. Praise God. I believe that with all my heart. Brother Daniel, God gives everybody a space to repent. And when we don't repent, and when we don't turn our wicked hearts towards God, God's not sending us to hell. We're sending us to hell. When God reaches out that hand of judgment, amen, God, judgment comes down upon you. Go stand before the judge in Huntington. I got called for jury duty. They send me papers to report. March the 11th. Amen. Wayne County Courthouse. I'm doing everything. I did everything I could to get out of it. Praise God. And I think I'm going to get out. Amen. But you know what? You go out there, Brother Kevin, and that guy maybe pulled the trigger on somebody, or that guy had a gun in his hand, and he goes into that store, and he holds somebody up. Hallelujah. He goes down to the judge. You get some jurors involved. You get the whole story laid out. And that man gets 30 years in jail. And somebody said, why did that judge send him to jail for 30 years? That judge didn't send him to jail. He sent himself to jail. God, I come to tell us, you got to be prepared to meet your God. Why be prepared? I tell you why. Because he's going to come, amen, in an hour that you think not. He's coming back for you because our sinful condition. God is a holy and a righteous God, amen. And we're sinful and unrighteous. And if we're going to go to a holy heaven, we got to be saved. We got to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive us of our sin. If we're going to a holy heaven, amen.
Yeah.
The Bible said in Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Right.
Aren't you glad that he came for you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God that he came for me. Oh, yes. I said he came for me. Amen. Oh, God help us. Amen. I remember through the years, I was thinking here, I got some notes here, and different times I forget the baby that got disappeared from Florida. Remember that baby? It makes national news sometimes. A child is abducted, or a child gets lost. They use this word, lost. Amen. The child is lost. And you know, people stay up across America and they listen to every tune of a broadcast trying to hear what happened to that lost child. What happened to that lost child? Oh, amen. I hear sometimes, amen, of a business going bad. Let me tell you something. Maybe some of you have your own business. If your business goes bad and turns upside down and you have to close it, that's a bad day. But that's not the worst of days. Oh, if your health goes from good to bad, old Jeffy tells me all the time, he got 45 and the check engine light come on. Amen. Hey, God, I ain't made to 45 yet, praise God. And my check engine light came on. If your health goes from good to bad, that's a terrible day. But it's not the worst of days. Amen. Oh, we get out driving. I cannot see to drive when the sun goes down. I'm going to have to go to the eye doctor. That's all there is to it. I can't see a road sign 100 foot in front of me. I got to ask Michelle what the signs are saying. Amen. That's one reason why I don't get glasses. I can see good right here. I can read. Everything's good right here. But from about Sister Kathy back, amen, count it out. Praise God. Amen. But you know what? It's a terrible thing to lose your sight. I've heard of folks losing their eyesight. I'd hate to lose my sight. But oh, that's not the worst of days.
Hey, come on now.
No, no, no. Amen. What would be the worst of days, Brother Jason? I tell you what would be the worst of the worst is to lose your soul. Amen. That would be the worst of the worst of days. To die and never have a chance. Amen. Never be able to get in the presence of God again. I said that would be the worst of the worst. Never to feel the Spirit of God. Never to have a mother's arm wrapped around you again. That would be the worst. Not the worst. To lose your soul.
Worst of the worst.
All right.
Holy,
yeah.
Holy, holy,
holy,
holy,
holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy. Scotty Grimms called me this morning, and yes, we'll be honest with you. I was trying to get ready. I was trying to iron my shirt. Sometimes he says things, and I don't listen good. I'm telling on myself. But he told me I didn't get the full story. Because I didn't want to ask him to back up and repeat it. But he said that girl that died up in Richlands, he said the Lord spoke to him and said, she made it. You tell him she made it. He didn't know they had phone records that she lived 45 minutes. He didn't know that. But anyway, John Gabbard said, the Lord said John Gabbard up there. And John Gabbard, that family is praying, Brother Tommy. And I can only imagine my 19-year-old baby, car crash, gone. Yeah. Could you imagine that day? If it hadn't turned out that way for Chris, that'd be a bad day.
Bad day.
But anyway, God spoke to John Gabbard, got him up and said, go to Virginia and go gather that family up. And you tell them, I had mercy and grace on her, and I saved her before she died. Aren't you glad for a prophet? Aren't you glad for a man of God? Amen. Oh, God. Oh, thank God for a prophet.
Yeah.
Thank God for a man of God. But, oh, I told Michelle this morning in the shower, getting out of the shower, I said, I remember my Uncle Larry and my Aunt Patsy. When we was in church on a Sunday evening, Brother Earl, a Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, we had church at 5. They still do. 5 o'clock, it wasn't no later than 5:30. Amen. My mom didn't go to church that night. She wasn't feeling good. And my mom come in. And I knew something was wrong. She come in and got my dad. And my dad went out. He come back in crying. I only seen my dad cry a handful of times. And I knew something bad was wrong. They come and got my Aunt Patsy, which is my dad's sister. And they went out and she finally starts screaming and passes out nearly. And they said something bad has happened to Jeff, which is my first cousin. Amen. The pastor of the church and his wife is their son. He had backslid. He had got away from God. And he went down to their house while they were in church and got on their floor, which was no big deal. Amen. If my Uncle Larry's got some that's yours as well as it is his. He could care less. Amen. But anyway, on that Sunday afternoon, he had left his wife, left his two kids, had his girlfriend on the back with him, and they was going up behind a house to an old cabin they had built back there. We all used to hang out back there a lot. Tip was going up a hill that I went up many times. It was super steep, but it wasn't but about 10 or 12. You had to hit it fast and go up this real steep hill and you was up. And Jeff was the best four-wheeler rider of everybody around. He's way better than any of us, but it wasn't his day. He got up there and he hit that road and he hit that hill and that four-wheeler stalled out on him and it flipped back, and when it was flipping back, he took his arm and shoved April off. Amen. And there she laid to the side, and that four-wheeler came back and the front handlebar, the front bars caught him across his head and it squashed his head. And April said that Jeff laid there gargling in his own blood, and it's in a matter of a moment or two, he was gone. Amen. Oh! I thought, oh God, amen, my Apache lost her mind nearly. It was hard times, but you know what? Amen. She didn't have that easement to have a man of God come by and say, I had grace and I had mercy. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. Today, to tell somebody, that's a bad day if you leave this world without the hand of God. And if you leave this world without being saved, it's the worst of the worst. There's no other chance. There's no other time to get back right with God. Make it right today.
Hallelujah.
Oh God.
Pray for me here today, church. I'm trying to preach to the best what's on my heart here.
Come on.
Jesus said, Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all.
Yeah.
Likewise.
Perish.
Come on.
He tells us that the rich man who went to hell cried out, I am tormented in this awful flame. Hallelujah. I am tormented in this awful flame. Revelation 20:15 says that there is a lake which burneth with fire. Amen. Oh, it's a place of torment. Great God. I'm not singling anybody out in this house. Maybe turn this down just a shade up here, Sister Claire. At this front up here, it keeps them screaming at me. Amen. I don't really know. Amen. I'm not singling anybody. I come with a burden on my heart to tell everybody in this house, you don't want to leave without God. You don't want to leave without God on your side. Oh, amen. Oh, God, help somebody in this house when they leave this place today. They're prepared and they're ready to meet God.
Amen.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
I really debated on some of this because I don't come here to scare nobody.
Come on.
I really don't.
Come on.
Brother Tom said some things last week.
Yes.
Take me back to memory lane.
Come on. Yes.
I remember I was in high school too, Brother Tom.
Yeah.
Come on.
Childhood buddy.
Yeah.
Amen. Seth was his name. I won't say his last name. There's lots of Seths. Seth was his last name. Grew up together. Played ball together. The Lord gave me a dream, Brother Earl, and I'm nothing or nobody, but the Lord gave me a dream.
Yeah.
And in that dream, I seen Seth driving. Amen. And as he was driving, he went over that hill. And in my dream, it wasn't graphic details, but I seen him go over the hill, and I knew he wrecked, and he died. Amen. That's hard to tell somebody, isn't it?
Yep.
People tell stories all the time that don't come to pass, and I didn't want it to come to pass. But I tell you, my heart beat out of my chest for a day or two at school, and finally, I felt a warning on my heart to tell Seth. And finally, I called him up. I remember the lockers in the background. And I remember the lockers, and I told him, I said, Seth, now, this is hard for me to say, you know. Yeah. I had a dream. I told him. Went over that hill. He had a wreck. He died. And I said, Seth, how is it with your soul? I knew he drank. I knew he was even starting to dabble in drugs. We all went to school. We knew what was going on. Amen. I said, how is it with your soul? Aren't you ready to pray? Aren't you ready to give your heart to God and get saved?
Yeah.
Amen. We use the words lost and saved a lot. You know what lost means? Lost means an eternity without God. That's what lost is. Eternity without God. Oh! Don't you want to be saved? What the saved means? Eternity with God. I'll never forget this. Amen. Said he didn't really laugh at me. He just kind of laughed it off. And he said, Jason, I'm young. He said, I'm young. You're talking about a 17-year-old man. I'm young. It's time to live. It's time to party. It's time to have a good time, he said. And he said, when I get old, then I'll settle down and go to church. Oh, God. We graduated, Brother George. Amen. I think it was the first year I moved to Huntington. I could take you to Piedmont Road. Loftus, the cell member's Loftus. She used to help me cut her grass down there. I was mowing the yard and I felt my phone. That's back in the big old phone days. I felt my phone vibrating. Amen. And it's my sister. She never calls me. And I said, hello. And Jessica said, did you hear the news? And I said, no. What had happened? I got to preach here. Amen. Running out of time already. And Jessica said, last night about 3 o'clock in the morning, Seth and Rustin, another buddy, childhood buddy, and Seth's girlfriend. Amen. Was over there and she told me where they wrecked and I knew right where it was. She said they went over a hill. Amen. That car hit a tree. And Seth died, looked like immediately. His girlfriend died, looks like immediately. And Rustin come out with a scratch on his arm. Amen. Oh, I did like a good friend ought to do, Brother Shelby. I got in my truck and I drove to Gilbert and I went to that funeral and that old preacher preached him into the pearly gates. Oh, amen. You know, everybody that dies and goes on to be with the Lord. You knew that, didn't you? Amen. But I stood there at that casket that day. I kind of forgot about the old days in the hall and the lockers in the background, and the Lord spoke to my heart when I stood at that coffin, and they had that net over that casket because he was all busted up. But the family wanted an open casket. He was all busted up. And I looked down at my childhood friend. I'll never forget it. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, remember when you talked to him about his soul? I said, yes, God, I remember. He said, what did he say? He said, he's young and it's time to party. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, the party is over. The party's over. Oh, God, what are you doing? I come to preach to somebody today. What are you doing about getting ready to meet God? I said, what are you doing? Are you ready to stand in his presence? Holy, amen, before the presence of God.
Oh God.
Pray for me because I'm just about done.
Come on.
How do I prepare, Brother Jason? I'm glad you asked. You got to leave your sin.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The Bible calls it repentance. This is an act in which we turn away from sin.
Yeah.
And we turn towards God.
Right.
That's what repentance is.
Right.
When we leave our sin and we turn towards God. Amen. A boy reached down in a jar one day. And he got his hand stuck in the jar. And he couldn't get his hand out. And his mom and dad said, son, turn loose of that dime. He had reached in that jar and get the dime. He had the dime in his hand, but his fist was full. And it wouldn't fit through the jar. And his mom and dad said, son, turn loose of the dime. And your hand will slide out. But he wanted the dime. And he wouldn't turn loose of the dime. That's the way sin is.
Yeah.
Amen. You got to turn loose of it. Praise God. You got to turn loose of it if you want free. I said, you got to turn loose if you want free. Is there anything if a man should gain the whole world? What if Brother Earl said, what if you hit it big and made $1 million? What if you hit it big, amen, and was successful and was a popular ball, amen, player? What if you hit it big and made a senator, a governor, or something high official in the government? Great God, the Bible said, what manner of man would not give anything? Oh, for just, let me tell you something. Every person person in hell would give everything they ever owned just to come out of there for another chance to pray, for another day of life. They would give everything that they had.
Praise God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Brother Rich tells the story, Don Rich, tells the story of being in Mexico preaching. I'll never forget this. It stirs me every time I hear it. And he said, a local pastor down there, Mexican pastor, said, I got to take you somewhere. Well, Chef, he said, took him out to the big city, to the local dump, land, you know, garbage dump, land dump, praise God. Amen. He said, took him out to that old garbage dump. And that pastor said, look at this. And said, in that garbage dump was little kids, four-year-olds, 5-year-olds, moms and dads, homeless, living in that garbage dump. And they said they'd go through the garbage and they'd throw garbage, try to find a little chicken bone or something just to get a morsel of meat that somebody left behind. Oh, God. Oh, Brother Rich said his heart broke. Amen. Inside of him. And he cried and he said, oh, God, this has to be the worst. This has to be the most horrible place on earth. Amen. Brother Rich said it was such a sight that he could hardly look upon it. Amen. And he was praying and he said, God, this has to be the worst of the worst. And they said, God spoke to him and said, Don, amen, don't you know that there's not a person in hell that would not gladly check out of hell and check into that garbage dump like it was a 5-star hotel? There wasn't a person in hell that would love to live in that garbage dump. And he preached that sermon, there's no place like hell. On a Sunday afternoon with just about 35 or so, I come to tell us there's no place like hell. You don't want to die without God. You don't want to die unprepared to meet God.
That's right, brother. Oh, bless you, Lord.
When? Pray for me. I'm finishing up here. When should I prepare to meet God? Glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, right now, is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:7 says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, right now, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Boast not. Proverbs said, thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Tomorrow might be too late. Amen. If you wait just one day, it might be too late. Right now, today is the day to get ready to meet God.
Yeah.
Yes, God.
Bless him, Lord.
Holy Lord. Holy Lord. Holy Lord.
I was working there, Brother Earl, one of the last patients I took care of, not on this travel step, but on my accident. Worse up there. And they had this old lady in the hospital. And she's a hateful old thing. Cuss and swarp around. Amen. And anyhow, she had a bad prognosis. I can't remember exactly, cancer or something. And she's going to die. Everybody knew she was going to die. Her kids knew she was going to die, but she got worse. You know, I took care of her for days. You know, she was on her floor for weeks. When you go back, a lot of times they try to give you the same patients if you had them, because you already know their history and everything. So, I was taking care of this lady. Then a week or two went by. She got bad, Brother Daniel. She got down to where she was dying. And she was about to leave this world. And her family is in there telling her, Mom, you're going to go to heaven. We're going to see you on the other side. And I don't want you to think I'm harsh and mean. I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. If you know, I'm not a harsh person. But let me tell you something. Right. You can't cuss and the last word that you say in your breath is a cuss word and wake up in heaven. You can't do that. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Right.
I'm not being harsh, but you can't drink alcohol and have drugs in your system and die and wake up and hey, you can't do it.
Come on.
That's right.
That's right.
Bless him, Lord.
And so anyhow,
I called them all out. They was all hungry or something. They said, we're going to go out and get a bite to eat. And they said, you watch over, Mom. We're going to go down the cafeteria about 30 minutes. We'll be back. My heart was like everybody did. I started pounding. God said, tell her. Amen. I got that fan. I could have lost my job. I could care less. Oh. And I got down there and I got in her ears and I got in her face. I can't even remember her name, but I said, ma'am. I shook her a little bit.
Yeah.
I said, look at me. Amen. She looked at me and I said, this any moment, you're going to check out from this life and you're going to go to the next life. And I said, if you don't change your heart and if you don't ask God to forgive you of your sin, you're going to wake up in a bad place.
Hey, she's out of Brother Robert. She woke up and her eyes looked at me wide open.
Oh, amen. She couldn't hardly talk. She was weak. I hope she prayed. I don't know. She was, don't wait. What I'm trying to say is, don't wait till it's too late. Somebody said, I'll get it fixed one day. I'll get ready another time. Don't wait. Right now. Today's the day. Don't wait till you're nine. Don't wait till make God send a prophet to your mom and dad. Don't wait till it's too late. Today, right now, is the time to get right.
Right now.
Stay with me.
Yes, God.
Have your way.
Stay with me right here.
Have your way, mighty God.
I appreciate the burden on my heart. I really did.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Jesus.
You know, a soul is the most important thing to God.
Yes, it is.
Have your way, Lord.
Whew, it's heavy for your reason.
Blessing, Lord. Have your way, mighty God.
Pray for, let's pray right here, Lord.
Holy Ghost,
I've only done one fell on my heart to do. I've only said one fell on my heart to say. God, if one person makes a change of direction, makes a time of repentance in their heart right here, whew, it's going to make a difference in eternity. Hallelujah. We're going to do like we did last week. I want the first ones in this order. I know we got several up here. But I want the first ones in this order is the young people. I really do. I want some young people in these orders. And if there's anybody other than that, amen. And you say, Brother Jason, I don't want to take a chance. I want to be ready to meet God. That's what this service is for. Come on, young people. Won't you be the example? Won't you come on, step in these orders right here tonight and say, God, I want to be ready to meet you.
Yes.
I want to be ready. He said, well, I can come to an end tonight. I don't make it to my house tonight. I want to be ready to meet God. You know how many folks got up yesterday morning and the undertaker took their shoes off last night? Lord, I want to be ready to meet you. Come on, church. Maybe there's a dog. It's your turn. Come on, come on. Get up here and say, God, I want to be ready. I want to be ready, Lord. Come on, come on. You ain't got nothing to pray about. Get up here and pray with some of these.
Somebody out there,
somebody
out there, said anything.
Let the Lord do a work in your life today. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, mighty God. Touch him.
There's no limit to a God.
Jesus.